The idea of human development is that people's lives are made richer, not just by what they earn, but the opportunities they have for realizing their full potential and getting value from their lives. And so when the report says that there isn't an automatic link between work and human development, it's actually saying something quite interesting, which is that the work that we do doesn't necessarily have to translate into high levels of income for us to reach richer levels of human existence. At the same time, if the work that we are doing is not enough to give us a living wage or comes associated with difficult conditions or forces us to make difficult choices, such as working as children rather than going to school, then the link with human development gets broken. And so we are saying that there is a very strong role for work to contribute to human development. This link is not always positive, and it can be negative when people are forced or have less freedom of choice or find themselves working in conditions that restrict their opportunities for the future.
The report also explores this idea that work is more than jobs, and it gives particular attention to women and unpaid work. Can you tell us why this idea is so important?
If you look at the activities we do all through our lives, only some of them result in income or being compensated in a monetary way. And so when we say that work is more than jobs, we are really looking at the activities that human beings do, not just wage earners. And for women in particular, a lot of the work they do basically gets unnoticed because it's done at home, providing care services, as we like to call it, looking after children, looking after the elderly, looking after the needs of the household. And this is not only not compensated, but because it's seen as something that women should do, restricts the opportunities they have for working outside as well. One of the ways in which public policy can help move women into the broader world of work is by supporting some of the care services they provide or making sure that the infrastructure we provide eases their lives at home so that they have more to do outside the home as well. Also, there are, of course, other kinds of work that people do, which is not necessarily paid for, work that volunteers do, for example, the work that we all do, which involves creative expression. All of these contribute to our lives and to the lives of people around us. And so we tend to think of work as being much broader than jobs.
We're hearing a lot more about the shift towards low emission and climate resistant futures. Can you tell us a little bit about that connection, how societies in general are moving in this direction and how it will impact people and their work?
In the report, we talk about moving towards sustainable work. And what we mean by this is work that's simultaneously advancing human development as well as protecting the planet and husbanding the environment. It gives us a pathway to proceed to the future by eliminating certain kinds of jobs which are not beneficial for the environment, by suggesting areas where new kinds of work can be created, for example, solar energy, and how to make sure that this positively impacts the lives of the poor and marginalized, as well as suggesting areas where the work we do needs to be transformed. So, for example, over 1 billion people work in agriculture, yet they're not always following the most environmentally appropriate practices. And this work that they do will have to be changed. We will still need agriculture, we'll still need the products they do, but they will have to work about it in a different way.
The report goes into the ideas of globalization and the digital revolution, which we often tend to think about as being very positive things. But the report talks about the fact that there are winners and losers in this process. Can you elaborate a bit on that concept?
Yes, there are challenges and opportunities for both. And on the one hand, thanks to globalization, far more unskilled workers have found paid work over the last 20 years. And a lot of the escape from poverty has been driven by this. On the other hand, if we look at where things are headed right now, a lot of the work that is flowing across borders requires high levels of skills that people in poor countries may not have. And this is one of the big challenges we have to deal with. Yet another is the fact that as you have a more and more globalized workforce, the bargaining power of individual workers goes down. And therefore, they may be in worse conditions in terms of demanding a better wage or safe living conditions or provision for the future. At the same time, it's undeniable that the mobile technology, access to the internet, and so on has facilitated new generations of entrepreneurs. And so if we keep providing and extending access, there's a hope that these kind of developments can continue as well. But I think what it means for us is that we need active policy to make sure people are not being left behind, and we need active measures and collaboration between workers, employees, and governments to make sure that all of these changes are positive for the poorest, most marginalized populations.